All right, well, Happy New Year. Thank you. You guys can go ahead and open up to Psalm 90. We'll get there eventually, but Psalm 90 is where we're going to be. I guess you can say that we're continuing our Dwell series, our Christmas series, kind of extending that on. Not really going to talk about the idea of Dwell and Incarnation so much this week. Next week we will talk about it a lot. I want to encourage you guys to be here, to bring others. If there's maybe some members or some of those that are regular attenders that haven't been here in a little while, give them a call. Say, hey, I think you should be here next week, because next week's going to be important for us as we lay out our vision for 2016 and who we want to be as a church and what we're going to be. So looking forward to next week, some things that I've been looking forward to sharing for quite some time. So hopefully you guys can be back next week. But this week we're going to do what I have now kind of called my annual New Year's resolution sermon. I love being able to preach on this week, and I can tell you just from a lot of my buddies that I follow on social media and things, that this week is a week that a lot of preachers give away to somebody else to come and preach. They open it up, say, you know, somebody on staff, somebody else can preach. But I love preaching on this day. There's something about the first Sunday of the new year that to me feels like the perfect time to be able to just address things. There's something about the rhythm of the calendar, the rhythm of life that is so good for me. And I'm going to ask before we go on, I always ask and I'm always disappointed, so I'm going to ask again, how many people in here make New Year's resolutions? Show of hands. And that's what it always is, like two people. How many people in here kind of sort of make New Year's resolutions, but you are not that formal about it and you don't really want to tell anybody else about it? That's what I figured. I think that's probably most people. I would fall in that category as well. I'm not type A enough to make the list. I don't do that. But what I try to encourage you guys to do every year at this time, what I always want to do is, I don't care if you make New Year's resolutions or not. I don't care if you make the list. If you're a type A person, then make the list, do that, and then you can check it off, and you do your thing. That's fine. But at the very least, what I want to make sure that I try to challenge you to do is find some time this week. Don't wait. If you need to wait, it's fine. Here's the good thing. When it comes to Christ and to the gospel and what we study in here every Sunday, you can start over and you can start fresh anytime. There is nothing that can stop you from that. Do you understand? You can start fresh at any time. But there's something about this time of year. There's two times of year every year that for me this is so helpful. The start of a new year and the start of a school year. I've got kids that are in school, and even though I'm not in school, there's something about that kind of rhythm of life that still makes sense for me. The middle of August, I got a birthday at the 1st of August too, so maybe that plays a part of it. But it's kind of a good, like, let me set my goals and kind of have one of those, today's the first day of the rest of my life, kind of moments. You know what I'm talking about? I want to encourage you and challenge you to do that. And so this sermon is kind of built around this idea of biblically a way to do that. You can go back on the website and you can hear several of the same kind of sermons over the last couple years. I would encourage you to listen to those, because I try to attack this from different angles. But the main thing is that I want you to do is stop and think about 2015. Think about what you could have done differently, and think about what 2016 will be for you. And before we get too far into that, I want us to look at Psalm 90, and I want to be able to think through some of the things of that we learn from this psalm. Because this morning is a powerful opportunity. To me, there is nothing. I want to be careful how I say this, but I think biblically I can back this up. There are few things as powerful as a new start. There is something about starting over, being able to kind of wipe the slate clean and start from something new. After all, that is the promise of the gospel. The good news is that you get a fresh start. The good news is that you are not the accumulation of your past, the accumulation of your past choices. The gospel teaches us that our past choices do not define us. Are there consequences from those? Sure there are. But because of the cross, because of Jesus Christ, if you trust in Him, if you know Him, you are not defined by your past. And your future can be shaped into something different. That is powerful. And it's not shaped into something different because of how you do things differently. This is what where we miss things as New Year's resolutions. I'm totally getting too far ahead in my sermon right now, but this is where we lose things in our New Year's resolutions. Our New Year's resolutions become these things that we try to do to make ourselves better. And they're done in our own power, and they're done for our own kind of selfish, typically selfish goals and ambitions. And some of those things are good things, but you have to be careful in how you do them. And so what I want us to do is I want to let Psalm 90 kind of point us in a direction that will help us as we think about our new year. And so if you're not a New Year's resolutions person, that's fine. But at the very least, I want you to be a stop and consider person. Can we just kind of come to the middle there? And if you don't make your resolutions, at least a stop and consider. Some of you can probably relate to this psalm. Moses wrote this psalm. It's the only one that he wrote. He wrote this psalm, and he wrote it. There's kind of some debate on exactly what the situation is that prompted the psalm. It doesn't tell us specifically, but what you can gain from some of the words in the psalm is that Moses wrote this at a time in his life where things had kind of gone bad for him, where things hadn't worked out the way that he thought they would. He wrote this in a chance where he could kind of sit back and look at the past and say, you know what, this has been a rough time for me. As I sit here in this moment and I look ahead, the past for me has not been great. And then he writes this corporately. It's for the nation of Israel. So it's corporately, and we could consider the same for us corporately as a church, Providence, or for you individually. To sit back and think, you know what, we're not where we want to be. Or maybe even you think about this in terms of your family. Maybe our family isn't where we want it to be right now. But, Moses gives us a little bit of guidance. What's clear is that in this psalm, as we read this, and we'll read it in just a minute, Moses needs a fresh start. He needs kind of a reset button here. He needs to be able to go into the next direction. And he knows that he can't really just do that all by himself. He needs some help. To me, this feels like where a lot of us sit at a new year. It's where I sit at a new year. And frankly, I don't care how successful I may have been in the years past with the resolution or not. When I consider where I'm at, I often, almost always feel like I need a fresh start. I need a first day, today is the rest of my life type of thing. Like I need one of those. Moses needs one of those. So I don't know how you feel this morning. Maybe 2015 was a great year. Maybe you killed it. Maybe you did everything that you set out to do. Maybe you maximized every moment. Maybe you offended no one, and you made amends, and you took care of your money, and you lost weight, and you didn't lose your temper with anybody, and you stopped smoking, and you did all these things that you set out to do at this time last year. Maybe that's you. My guess is it's probably not you. It's probably not. I don't know a lot of people that are just killing it like that. I know that I'm not. I know that I'm still, I can tell you right now, about most of the resolutions that I'm making in my head are the same ones that I made this time last year. And so some of you may be, if you know, you're like Captain Cynical and you're like, okay, so they don't work. So why are you doing this? Why are you wasting our time? Well, just hang on there with me and let's work through this, because this is how sanctification works, okay? Sanctification, that's a churchy word, but what that means is growing in the knowledge and the grace of who God is and who you are. And the hard part about sanctification is, A, you have to work at it, and B, it takes a long time. It's not easy. So just because you're making the same resolutions that you were making this time last year doesn't mean that you failed. It means that it's time to try again. And this is what we're going to see this morning. So what is it that you want out of this year? What is it that you want out of 2016? Do you want to overcome some of that stuff? Do you want to move past some of what has held you back and held you down? Moses understands that. Psalm 90 is written in that same kind of mental state. He knows what it's like. Moses knows what it's like to sit and think about how things could have been better and should have been better. And then he wrote Psalm 90. So let's read it together. We're going to read all of it. It's going to take a minute. It's just 17 verses, but don't typically read that that length of a passage. So read with me now in Psalm 90. It says, it's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like a grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Let's just stop there for just a second. I'm not going to spend any time on this on my sermon, but I can't just let this go by. You may be sitting in here this morning, and you may not be one to make resolutions. You may think that, you know what, I'm just going to do my thing. I'm just going to kind of go ahead and do my thing. I'm not going to overcome this. I'm not going to fight this. I'm not going to go against this because it's kind of who I am. And you may think, it's who I am, but nobody knows me as that person. Maybe you haven't made a resolution because you haven't been caught or found out. God knows who you are. You're not hiding anything. He knows who you are. Our secret sins in the light of His presence. That enough may not be enough to make you make a resolution, but it should be enough to make you change. To know that a holy God knows who you are intimately. And if you're anything like me, what that should do is at least partially make you shudder. But the beauty of it is, you shudder, but then you run to the cross. You run to Jesus. And then no longer do you have to shudder. Instead, you say, God, I am not who I need to be, but I want to be something more. And so I trust you to make me into that. There are no secret sins. You're not hiding anything. Maybe this person or that person doesn't know it, but God knows who you are. So let's just begin and get that kind of out of the way. God knows who you are this morning. Verse 9. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This is Psalm 90. It is a fantastic psalm for us in the new year. There's a ton here. I would love to just camp out on some of this stuff. We could spend a couple of weeks here if we wanted to get into kind of detailed analysis, but we're not going to do that this morning. Instead, I want us just to kind of apply it to where we are right now, just a couple of days into the new year. Moses desperately wants to see a change. He wants to have a new outlook, a new future. He wants the upcoming days to be better than the ones in the past. He wants a new path. I know I can relate to that. Maybe I'm the only one that can relate to that, but I can relate to that. So at the very least, this is going to be a helpful morning for me. But I'm guessing that you guys can relate to that too. You need something new. I thought a lot about what 2016 is going to mean for us as a church, for us as a family, for me personally. I've considered that a lot, and usually I do that about this time of the year, but for me, this came about a month earlier than usual this year. Over the course of the last month, I've been doing a lot of planning and praying, and it all started when I got something in the mail. I've gotten these the last few years, but for whatever reason, this kind of played out a little bit different for me, and I got this calendar that we hang up in our office. I know you can't tell a whole lot about it, and it's fine. You don't need to know all the details, but it's this giant wall calendar. This is like a 6x3 wall calendar. I have a smaller one that's just in my office. This is in our conference room, which is generous. If you've been in our office, you know that conference room would be generous to call it that, but that's where this is hanging. And what this is a full year calendar. And it's not divided up by months. You can see the months are kind of marked off, but it's a continuous calendar. Like it doesn't stop. So instead of broken up into 12 segments, it's just one running calendar. I love this calendar. It's a cool little tool for me. It's super helpful when we're planning things and thinking through things. They're kind of made of this whiteboard material, so you can write whatever you want on there, and you can see the whole year. And as I began to stare at that, and stare at the one that's right next to my head in my office, there is something strangely powerful about a blank calendar. If you stop for a minute and you look at it, there's something strangely powerful about a blank calendar. There's so much potential in that. All of those squares, I think there's 366 because I think it's a leap year, is that right? I think it's a leap year this year. 366 empty squares. Nothing on them. Every one of them full of potential. If you sit there and you stare at it long enough, you start to feel like your whole life is just sitting right in front of you. You can begin to see things and see your year and how it's going to take shape. And I wonder how many of you need this picture right here this morning. Just a blank calendar. A fresh start. A new plan, a new path, a new direction. I wonder how many of you could benefit from this as much as I did, just to be able to look at that and say, you know what? I can put whatever I want in those squares. Now, if you're like me, immediately you start thinking, well, sort of. I mean, I've got like work, and I've got, you know, birthdays I got to fill in there, and I've got anniversaries to fill in there. I've got, you know, this and that. You know, April 15th is still there, so I've still got taxes to pay. And like you start filling that kind of stuff in, but before you do that, I wonder how helpful a blank calendar would be for you to have a fresh start. I know I needed it. I was ready for 2015 to move on. Don't get me wrong. Where we sit right now, I think this year has been a good year, but it's been a crazy year for us. And we were ready for a fresh calendar. For me personally, I was ready to kind of take that next step. And so here we sit, a couple of those boxes already marked off. Already down a few of those days. And here's the thing. As powerful as that empty calendar is, in the end, the empty calendar doesn't hold a promise for me. Because those days can pass and nothing will happen if that's what I choose. Those days can pass and they can fall right through my fingers and be totally wasted. In the end, that blank calendar is only powerful because of the potential that I give it. Because of the potential that I give it in my mind. And before we can really understand the power of that potential, we've got to tap into something more that kind of helps frame all of it for us. Because we know what potential is, right? We understand that potential has its limitations. Because God has called us to so much. But potential on its own isn't that great. We understand what that is all about, right? We just watched Tennessee destroy another Big Ten opponent in a bowl game, right? We just saw that. Some of you maybe didn't see that, but some of us did, and we like to keep talking about it. So we just watched that. That is potential that has now suddenly been realized. But you know what's happening today is coaches are calling players and recruiting has begun again. And these high schoolers are getting phone calls because they have so much potential. Nick, you're recruiting players. You brought one in a couple weeks ago, and you're going after people. Those guys have potential. But you know as a coach, potential never won a football game, did it? Potential's never won a football game. Potential doesn't get you anywhere. It takes more. And an empty calendar has never created a godly life. It takes more. So let's see what Moses teaches us. Let's see the word that he gives us this morning. The first stanza starts us off with a powerful reminder. And here's the crazy thing about this. We're looking to the future, but where does Moses begin when he needs a fresh start? Does he begin by saying, you know what, let's just let bygones be bygones? You know, we are where we are. It is what it is. 2015 was what it was. Let's just move on. No. Moses begins looking to the future by looking at the past. Verse 1 and 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. I mean, I think that is amazing. For me, when I'm ready to move on from the past and I'm ready to turn over a new leaf, the last thing that I want to do is stop and turn around and look at the past. But Moses does that. I mean, this is what we sing, right? The past is in the past, so now we're just going to let it go, right? We know this song well. This is the lyrics that we have heard over and over, at least I've heard over and over in my house. The past is in the past, just let things go and move on. It's not Moses' approach. He begins by looking back. But note what he looks back to. He doesn't dwell on the mistakes and the mishaps. He doesn't dwell on the failures. He doesn't live in the past of the year and look at all the excuses of why he didn't do things and why he can't do things going forward. That's not what Moses looks at. He looks at something else. He goes past just the immediate failures and the problems, and he begins to look at something bigger. He looks back for the sole purpose of seeing who God is. That's why he looks back. That's why he turns around and looks to the past, because he wants to know better and remind himself of who God is. And in doing that, he begins to realize that God is a lot bigger than the moment that he finds himself in. He is more powerful, and he has been faithful in the past. That's how it begins, at the very beginning. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. God, you have been faithful. You have been the one that we have trusted in the past. And if we have done this in the past and you have been faithful to us, we can do it in the future. That's his point. We can say the same thing, Romans 8:32. If God gave his son for us, how much more can we trust him now? If we have the cross, we know we can trust God in the future. This is Moses' point. God has been faithful. He has been our dwelling place. And if that's what the past looks like, then we know that we can attack the future. And if God has been here from everlasting to everlasting, what that means is he was here before my problems and he'll be here after my problems. He was here for my mistakes and he will be here after my mistakes. This is the God that we worship and this is the God that Moses is praying to. When it comes to living the Christian life, when it comes to making a fresh start, never start with you. Now, maybe you're trying to make yourself you're trying to improve yourself. But if you start with you, then you've started on shaky ground. When it comes to growing, when it comes to becoming more of who God has called you to be, when it comes to moving from your past, when it comes to any of that, never start with you. The Christian life never begins with you. If it does, it's sabotage from the very beginning. It begins with God, with who He is, with what He's done, with the power that He holds. That's where Moses begins. And it seems so counterintuitive, and that's why we do it so little. Because the mentality for us, especially here in America, kind of the pull yourself up by the bootstraps mentality is, if I can try hard enough and I can then I can do it. But that's not how Moses begins. Don't get me wrong. There's some grit and there's some toughness that's got to be there. But that's not where he starts. The self-help mumbo-jumbo never works if it begins with just, if you just know yourself. If you can just love yourself, then you can begin to take care of whatever. You know, maybe there's some piece or some segment of that you can find in Scripture, and maybe you can kind of twist it around, but it never, ever, ever, ever begins there. It begins with God. If you want to change, don't look to yourself first. Look to something bigger. Look to something more powerful. That's what Moses does. Don't look to the power of an empty calendar. Look to the power of God. He's the one that formed the mountains. He's the one that spoke the earth into existence. He's the one that existed eternally. That's not us. That's not you. That's not me. We would be foolish to put all of our power and all of our hope in us as finite people when we have an eternal God that is powerful beyond all measure. And we say, you know what? I know you're kind of a powerful guy, but I got this. Just what Chandice was saying. I got this. That would be a foolish mistake. If you want to change, if you want to grow, if you want to live out the Christian life that you've been called to, fix your gaze on God and meditate on who He is. That's where you begin. Don't start 2016 with you. Start it with Him. When you wake up in the morning, don't think about what you can and what you can't do. Don't focus on this and that and your task and your to-do list. Focus on the one that is so much bigger than you. The way Paul says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, "So we don't lose heart. Though the outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Don't begin the year looking to the things that are seen. Look to the unseen, because that's eternal. And then day by day, our inner self will be renewed. That is a beautiful, beautiful couple of verses for a new year. So that's our first lesson, to look to the past and to know that God is bigger than all of history. Our second lesson is to remember that life is brief, but eternity is forever. Life is brief, but eternity is forever. So Moses does us a huge favor here. He helps us out tremendously. He sets the terms for our new life and our new circumstances. If life isn't what you want it to be, then pursue something greater. Go after something more. That's what we have in front of us. That's the opportunity of a new year. But don't set your sights too low. As you begin to consider 2016 and you start thinking about things you would like to change, don't get hung up on things that are too small for you, that are too small for us. Moses says life is temporary. It is nothing compared to eternity. We are but a breath. The song that we sang this morning, the mist is gone by the morning. Our life is but a mist. Time on earth is small. And if that's true, if our time here is small, how crazy is it for you to build a year around goals that have nothing to do with anything but our time here? How crazy would it be for you to build an entire life plan around losing weight or managing money or managing your temper or any of these other things, all good things that we should do? I'm not knocking those things. But how crazy is it that we spend so much of our life building everything around those things, and those things will pass away? They won't mean a thing in 100 years. Eternity is so much more important. And yet I'm not even talking about resolutions. I'm just talking about life. We build our lives around things that will be gone in a breath. Don't make your goals too puny. Know what matters. Your discipleship matters. You discipling others, that matters. Your prayer life, that matters. Your prayers for friends and for family, that matters. The time that you spend growing and knowing God more, that matters. Listen to Moses. You will be gone like the frost in the morning as soon as the sun hits it. You will be gone. Stop building your lives around things that won't matter. Build your lives around things that will matter for eternity. And this brings us to our third point. Our days may be short, but our days still matter. Our days may be short, but our days still matter. Psalm 90:12. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Man, what a prayer for the first of the year. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. It would be foolish for us to look at the previous point and say, you know what? Our time on earth is short. It is but a breath, so it doesn't matter. Let's just get what we can get and then be done with it. It just doesn't matter. It's so quick anyway. It would be foolish for us to think that life is meaningless simply because it is short. According to Moses, there is something that is birthed in us. There is something that affects us and that changes us when we live with the knowledge that time is short. When we live in view of eternity instead of in view of the temporary. It gives us a clarity of focus, an urgency to accomplish things. It gives us energy and motivation to do things that otherwise we would put off. Why do you think we have a bucket list? Why do you think that idea has become cliche? Because there's something about knowing that there is an end that encourages you to pursue something. Wisdom comes from understanding this. If you're going to impact eternity, if we as a church are going to impact eternity, we have a very small window in which we get to do that. We have a very small window in which we get to shape forever. Don't leave this world wishing you had cared more about the next one. Don't leave this world wishing that 2016 was built around things that would last instead of things that were only good for 2016. You know, I said there's 366 days on that calendar. You're not promised one of them. Not one. Don't make the mistake of thinking that life just goes on and then it's over. As you start to fill up those squares on that calendar, make sure that you don't fill them up with things that simply don't matter. You only have so many of those little squares. Don't waste them. Count them. Know them. And don't presume upon them. The final thing for us to see this morning is verse 17. Something that I think is going to be a little bit of a theme for me this year. Really, this whole psalm has been one I've been thinking about a lot for the last month or so. Verse 17 says, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. You can almost hear Moses as he says that. God, establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. He's pleading with God to help him build something great, to help him take a new path, to help him follow on this fresh start. These verses encompass what is really at the heart of my New Year's prayer for us as a church, and for me as a father, and a husband, and a man. Change is massively hard. Massively hard. Change is never easy. We will sabotage ourselves at every step. We will sabotage us every step we can in order to avoid change, even if we know the change is for the better. My prayer is that God would give you favor as you try to change. My prayer is that God would give us favor as a church as we try to change as a church and as we try to change the community around us. My prayer is that God would give me favor as I try to be a husband that is patient and kind and loving, and a father that is generous and loving and intentional. As a pastor that cares, as all these things that I'm bound up in me, that God has given me a role to play and I need to change and I need to be better. My prayer is that God would give us favor. I'm not asking that God would give you favor in the sense that you get this health, wealth, prosperity kind of stuff. If God gives you money, that's fine. Give us some of it. But that's not really what I'm looking at. I hope you know, some of you guys don't know me well, and you don't know that is like a totally sarcastic statement, but it was way too flippant for me to say that. It's not in the notes. But, like, man, if God wants to give you money, that's fine. But when you pray for a blessing for God, I hope it's not for something as trivial as money. Don't get me wrong, I certainly know that having money can make certain things go a lot better in your life. I'm not saying that. But man, there's bigger things. There's more powerful things. And I pray that God will give you favor to be who you want to be in the new year. That calendar will fill up quickly. A year from now, you're going to be sitting at the end of that calendar. You're going to be down here in December somewhere in that bottom corner. And you're going to be looking back on this year. Lord willing. Those squares can count for something. Or they can be wasted. It's totally your choice. But you're going to need God's help. Moses knew that and he asked for help. I want to give you a chance to ask for help this morning as well. The band's going to come up. We're going to play another song, a song that I think is a perfect kind of prayer for us to follow up on this. Make those days count. Don't waste them. Don't waste them. There's only one 2016. It could count for a lot. Or it could count for nothing. That's your choice. But you need God's help. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity for a fresh start. Oh, what a blessing that is. And no one understands the power of a true fresh start like someone who has met Jesus. Because Jesus is the only one that will truly give you a fresh start. Every other religion is all about covering up your past. Christianity is about gaining a new one. Gaining the righteousness of Christ, His life, because He takes on our sin. Father, what a powerful truth. If there's anyone in here that doesn't know the power of that fresh start, I pray that 2016 begins in that way. That they would know the power of Christ and His resurrection. They would know the death of the old self rising, the resurrection of a new one. I can't think of anything more powerful than that. For those in here that just need a fresh start, that need to just move past whatever has been holding them back, Father, I pray that you will strengthen their hands, that they will go to work. The hard work of change. But Father, thank you that we don't have to do that alone. Instead, we have the promise, the hope that you are with us. And you are from everlasting to everlasting. Father, we need that kind of power. Father, make 2016 a year of that kind of power. We commit it to you.